Let us pray. Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would move among us, that you would open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and also our lives to your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Jesus Seminar group.
Yes.
It's a group of scholars that's using it in the sense of the word. They gather and they will go through the Gospels and look at the different sayings and teachings of Jesus, and they vote on which ones Jesus probably said, which ones they think he didn't say, which ones they think, you know, he never, that the church did instead of him. And the bad thing about the Jesus Seminar is they didn't exist 500 years ago when they could have been burned for that. But one thing that they all agree on as being absolutely historical was the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And they said because the church would never have created a story that scandalous, that Jesus would be baptized by John, which could make him look subservient to John, and also that people were being baptized for the remission of sins, and here's a man who has no sin. So what's he doing out there? I'm not going to answer that question.
Can we vote on it?
Yeah. That's it. Those of you who think Jesus might know, say aye. The thing that I thought was most fascinating in this gospel lesson today, well, number one, I was thankful it didn't go into the genealogy of Jesus. It stopped just short of that. That would have been a hard one. But the gospel lesson begins with this line, "The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah." And I thought about expectations and reality. We all have expectations that come are confronted at some time by reality. Like when you get married, you have expectations, and then you run into the brick wall of reality. Not at all what you expected. It turns out to be something much better, but you don't know it when you first hit the wall. It's that way with a lot of our expectations. And so it's interesting to know that cognitive science studies such things. Scientific study has shown that there, you know, we think there are frequent disconnections between our expectations and reality, but there are not. Actually, far less. Usually things turn out pretty much like we think they're going to. In fact, that's how we get through the day. Cognitive science begins with the premise that the brain simplifies the world by creating a never-ending series of assumptions. We assume things are going to turn out certain ways. We have those expectations, and they do. It's how we get through the day. We don't worry about trivial matters. But sometimes the brain comes up short, and it reads a situation incorrectly, and we are taken by surprise. And it was interesting when I was reading this, I found out that's how jokes work. Jokes work with the unexpected. They lead you down a path of reality, establishing this for you, and then they surprise you with something at the end. Totally unexpected. That's what makes it funny. And I think a lot, most of you are old enough to remember David Niven, the British actor. He wrote two memoirs, but the first one, The Moon's a Balloon, he related a story, and I'm not suggesting you read this book, it has some very risque things in it, but in talking about humor, he related a famous story. Charles MacArthur was in early film, in the days of silent film, he was a screenwriter. You think, well, gee, how much screenwriting do you need for a silent movie? But you do have to lay out the story. And he was talking with Charlie Chaplin one day, and he wanted advice. How do you improve the classic banana peel sequence? Because in his film, he had it's bad to say fat lady, but that's what David Niven said. Yeah. I would say rotund. But this fat lady's walking down the street, and there's the banana peel. So he said, do I show the banana peel first or the fat lady first? And Charlie Chaplin said, what you need to do is show the fat lady coming down the sidewalk and then cut to the banana peel. Then cut to a wide shot of the lady approaching the banana peel. Then cut back to the banana peel and then back to her right as she's getting ready to step on it. And she steps over it into an open manhole. And so, totally unexpected. And he did it Charlie Chaplin's way, and it's funny, as long as it doesn't really happen. But not every disconnect between expectation and reality is funny. Some of them, of course, are sad and tragic. But the gospel lesson begins. The people were waiting expectantly. All Jews were waiting expectantly for the Messiah. And they all had heard the prophecies, and you would think they all would have one unified view of the Messiah like we do.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Not even close. There were so many divergent views of what the Messiah was going to be like, and they were all based on prophecy. The Messiah was to be of the line of King David. He would be a great king like David. He would restore Israel. He would throw off the yoke of their oppressors. He would be a great political figure and a military leader. Others expected someone more like Moses, would lead the people to understand the true meaning of God's law. They thought that this coming Messiah would be the true high priest. And would also restore Israel. And the expectations were so divergent that if you've ever studied the Dead Sea Scrolls, you would find out that the Essenes who wrote them were expecting more than one Messiah. They had at least two, maybe four. One was going to be political and one was going to be spiritual. And so the people, with all of these expectations, are wondering, could John the Baptist, could this weird little guy out here in the wilderness be the Messiah? He's so different. Could he be? Such authority. But John made it clear he was not the Messiah. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than me will come to strap the whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then John shared with them his expectation of the Messiah. John was expecting a Messiah who would bring judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The wheat he'll grind there into the granary, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Very dramatic. Everybody had expectations. If you look at all the Gospels, people are always coming out to talk to John. I mean, Pharisees from Jerusalem come. You know, are you the one? Are you the one? Everybody wants to know. Because everybody has their own set of expectations. And all of them are partially right. And all of them are partially wrong. Jesus was the king of the line of David who would liberate them from their oppressor. Satan, not Rome. Freedom will be won not with a sword, but with a cross. Jesus was a spiritual leader like Moses who would teach us the correct interpretation of the law. And he is the great high priest. If you go to 7th chapter of Hebrews, Jesus is the great high priest of the order of Melchizedek. He is our great high priest. But he's more. And Jesus is the one who brings judgment and separates the wheat from the chaff and does bring judgment with fire. But he's also the person who gave his life for the chaff and was willing to bring them into his granary as well. In fact, you know, John was so concerned that Jesus did not fit his expectation as the Messiah. And in chapter 7 of Luke, it's just a few pages away, he sends two of his disciples to talk to Jesus. John's disciples told him all of these things, which we'll discuss in a minute. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And when they came to Jesus and asked that question, the answer is, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." And he gives him a list that people are cured of diseases, evil spirits are driven out, people are blind, have their sight restored. Tell him this. And it's interesting where it's placed. John's disciples told him all these things. The story right before it is the raising of the widow's son at Nain. He's restoring life to the dead. The story before that is the Roman centurion whose servant is healed. He's even healing Gentiles. Not at all what you expect. Everybody had expectations. But on that day, by the River Jordan, it seems that only one person's expectations were fulfilled. Out of all the people there. Jesus, the Son of God, was baptized and at prayer. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." God's expectations were met. He was pleased. This is the Messiah. This is my Son. And God's expectations were met and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Not just that day, but every day. And so you and I have followed our great high priest through the waters of baptism. We've all been baptized. Washed in those waters. And in that baptism, we were joined to Jesus Christ. We are united with him in a baptism like his. And so as I sat in a study and I thought about that, the question that kept coming to me is, so what are God's expectations of me? What are God's expectations of you? If we look at the teachings of Jesus, you know, we could come up with the list. Well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in Luke's gospel, with all your strength. And Oh, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And we could just keep going down the list with the teachings of Jesus. Oh, take up your cross daily and follow him. Yeah, we come up with a list. But the last time the bishop was here, he gave us a shorthand answer to that question. He said, what does God expect of you? What does God expect of us? Jesus Christ. That's what he expects of you. We are called to be like Jesus Christ. That's God's expectation. But then there's reality. You know, I want to be like Jesus. I strive to be like Jesus, but I find that I'm a sinner and I, you know, keep coming up short. But the great thing is, God loves us, made allowance for that. Christ died on the cross for that, so that we could be united with Jesus Christ, that we could carry on his ministry. That's the reality. And the reality of our situation right now is exactly the reality beside the Jordan River that day. The Holy Spirit still descends to us, lives in us, works in us, ministers through us. And if you're real quiet, you can hear the voice of your Father say, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. I love you. And in you, I am well pleased. Amen.